Look with me, if you would, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I want to say I appreciate the fellowship, amen, the time that we've had here with y'all at Bethany. I always enjoy being here, appreciate the good food. I don't know who all did what with that, but I want to say I appreciate it, amen. It's a blessing, and the fellowship during the time of eating, and just it's been a blessing to us to be here and to be a part. If you would, pray for us, the Lord would. As Brother Jamie mentioned this morning, would give us direction as far as where he'd have for us to go. We're planning to go back to Kentucky. We moved all our stuff back to Kentucky, just really into storage. Not having to pay for storage. Amen. Thankful for that. My brother Chuck Simpson there at Island Ford in Madisonville, Kentucky, has got some buildings, a shop there that he works in, and he's allowed us to use that to store our stuff. And he's got a little hunting cabin there. He's allowing us to live in. Until we find us a place, either there or somewhere else, wherever the Lord moves us to, amen. And so pray that the Lord would give us wisdom in that, know what to do and how to go about that. And pray for us again, Lord willing, tonight we'll be going back up to Pollard and be picking up some stuff there and worship the sun a little bit, right. Amen. No, we're not worshiping the sun, amen. But anyway, we'll go up there and then we're going to go from there to Watonga on Tuesday, just west of Oklahoma City, a little ways. And Brother Bill Rudd is starting a work there, and he's a good brother. And so we're going to try to, they're having a meeting to dedicate the church to the Lord. Amen. And so he asked us to come. So we're going to go and be there with him Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be at Sooner Rose. Looking forward to that. Amen. And then the Wednesday after that, I'm going to be preaching for my grandpa there in Hayes, Kansas. If you would pray for them. They're going to be constituting the work, turned over. They got a young man there that's helping my grandpa. He's been there the whole time my grandpa's been there. And they're going to constitute the work, I think, the first Sunday of May. So that's coming up pretty soon. Papa and Granny, if you would pray for them, they've been in Kansas for 31 years. May makes 31 years. Been faithful to the Lord there. Started 5 churches there. All of them still going right now. Amen. 2 of them don't have a pastor right now. So if you would pray for them. But anyway, he's going to turn this one over to a preacher there, young man, I think, doing a good work there. And Granny and Pawpaw feel like because of their health and stuff, they're going to have to slow down. And so they're moving back to North Carolina within the next year or so. And they're going to be working with their missions agency, trying to promote missions and trying to help the missionaries that they have. And they're going to be working in the home church there as well. And I'm sure Paul will be preaching out missions conferences and stuff like that. But pray for them. It's a change that they've been on the field. And, Brother and Jamie was talking to me about y'all support. Who is the widow? Brother Mitchell's widow. Amen. I agree with that. I think that's the way it should be. Amen. And I think people that have supported a missionary like that, Paul's, you can understand he's a little bit concerned about how's the Lord going to provide, but he's trusting the Lord to do it. He mentioned somebody told him when he was going to Kansas, I just don't have that much faith. He said, I can't move out all the way across the country and trust churches and trust people to send in the support they promised to send in for me to be able to live. And Papa said, well, I'm not. I'm not trusting people. I'm trusting the Lord. Amen. And that's the same thing now. But I think a lot of churches will continue to support them. They support them for 30 years. I think they'll continue to support them. But anyway, just pray about that. Lord, give them leadership. They got some health issues, and it's becoming harder for them to go on. And y'all can understand that. So pray for them. But then on the following Sunday, 2 weeks from today, we'll be preaching in Larned, Kansas. And so if you would pray for that, then we'll be going back to the marathon. Amen. So we got a busy few weeks here. So pray for us, Lord, to help us as we travel. Give us safety. Amen. And amen, just help us there. All right. And we'll be praying for y'all as well here. Amen. All right. The book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I was thinking about this. There's a lot of times we think, we talk about the red letter. Yeah. Letter. Somebody said, I wouldn't believe it unless it was in red letters. Well, Jesus said it's his word. Amen. Yeah. And so all of it is red letter. In one sense, it's all God's word. Amen. Yeah. And so we ought to not necessarily put more importance on one than the other. Amen. It's all the Word of God. But some people say, well, I wouldn't go hear a preacher, or maybe I'll come to church, but might not be as faithful as I should be. But if we knew that Jesus was going to be here today preaching, we'd all show up, right? I mean, the church house would be full if Jesus was here preaching. But we have his word. Not only that, here at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I don't believe this is the whole sermon, but it's three chapters taking bits and pieces out of his sermon. I don't believe it's a short sermon, amen. But Jesus, there's several different sermons of Jesus in the Bible. No, I don't think a whole sermon, any of them, but there's parts of them. And we have the preaching of Jesus, amen. And we ought to relish in that and respect that, amen. And I want to pay attention to what Jesus had to say, amen, when he's here on the earth. And so we understand this is in verse number 1, he talks about seeing the multitudes. So he's seeing the multitudes, but then it says, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came into him. Now, I don't believe this was the 12 disciples, because you actually don't find the 12 until chapter 10, book of Matthew. John 1, he tells us he calls 6, Peter and Andrew his brother, James and John his brother, and Philip and Nathaniel, right? He calls those, so that may be the disciples, or it may just be the disciples means somebody who is following, right? And the word disciple, the root word you could say is, it's got discipline in it, right? It's talking about discipline. You have to be disciplined to be a disciple. People want to be a follower of Jesus, but they don't want to go where he goes, and they don't want to be disciplined about it. Amen. But you got to be disciplined to be a disciple. And every one of these disciples, Jesus, where you can look where he found them at the beginning of his earthly ministry, and then you look where he brought them to at the end of his ministry. Look at Peter. Amen. We can see how Peter, the Lord rebuked Peter several times. Amen. And the Lord brought him. You look in the book of 1 Peter especially, and 2 Peter as well. But everything, I believe in the book of 1 Peter, everything that Peter wrote down to those churches, he experienced himself. Amen. He told them, when you're persecuted, rejoice. Be happy are you. Well, that's what Jesus said here in Mark 5. I mean, Matthew 5. Yeah. He's just repeating what he heard Jesus say. Amen. Yeah. All the way through, he's talking about when Satan being a roaring lion, right, seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus told him, Simon, Satan hath desire to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. Peter knew what he was talking about. Yeah. Amen. And these disciples, there's some work. And this sermon here was preached not to the multitude, don't look like. May have been a lot of people there. I don't know. But there wasn't nearly as many there as there was down in the valley where he'd been preaching, right? This is just his closer followers. This is the ones he called his disciples that are here. And Peter, I mean, our Lord is preaching to them, teaching them. And there's so much here that we could look at. But he starts off giving them the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye, blessed are they, blessed are thee, right? He's giving all these blessings. But that all of those are, there's two sides to it, right? You're blessed if you do this. What does that mean if you don't do this? Right. Well, yeah. You're not blessed, yeah. Right? And so there's this whole 5, 6, and 7 are all two sides of the same coin. He has what you think the law says in verse 17. Well, in verse number 13 through 16, he's talking about the shining light versus the hidden light. Are we what, as Christians, are we what we're supposed to be? Verse 17 on down through the end of the chapter, I believe it is, we find he's talking about the letter of the law or the spirit of the law. Right? And he goes talking about several different things. Think not that I'm come, verse 17, to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You'd be surprised how many people today believe that Jesus came to destroy the law. Amen. He did away with the law. Well, the Bible tells us, Paul says that those that believe are not under the law. No. We're not subject to the law. But God's going to hold every lost person accountable for breaking the law. Amen. Amen. And so he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Amen. Yeah. And he goes on talking about things that they think that the law means. These Pharisees that come up with their definitions of what the law is. You think about, verse number 21, he talks about thou shalt not kill. And there's a judgment for killing, for murder. But Jesus said, if you have hatred in your heart toward your brother, that's the same thing in God's mind, in your heart. Now, it's not, Somebody said, if you think it, you might as well say it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Yeah. There is a difference between sinning in your heart and sinning with your hands. Yeah. There is a difference. But he's saying that just as long as you don't act upon your desires does not mean that you haven't sinned.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a thought. What happens in your heart, amen, is a problem. And he goes on, thou shalt not commit adultery, verse 27. You've heard that it's said of old time. Jesus is not saying, you read in the law, but I say unto you. He never says that. He's not correcting Moses. He's not correcting the law. He is correcting their application of the law. Amen?
Right. Right.
And so he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he said, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery in your heart already. Verse number 31, he talked about divorce. And I don't hate divorced people. Amen.
Amen.
We got a lot of divorced people in our country today because people do not value vows.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people say in verse number 32, by saying to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. People say, see that Jesus made an exception. Jesus said, in case of an adultery. That's not what Jesus said. He used the word adultery in the same sentence, but he used fornication. Fornication is immorality before marriage, right? I don't believe the bill of divorcement that Moses gave and the exception that Jesus gave is for a man that's been married 20 years and his wife cheats on him and he says, there you go. Now that's what the Bible says. I'm a free man. I don't believe that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying if you marry somebody and you find out immediately after that they wasn't pure like they claimed that they was, and there's the bill of divorcement. Amen. And so anyway, he's just going through all these things. You say, what is the penalty for adultery in the Bible? Penalty for adultery in the Old Testament under the law that he's talking about is stoning, not divorce. Amen.
Amen.
Now, then he says, thou shalt not forswear thyself. Oh my. People say, I put my hand on the Bible. Be careful about that.
Amen.
Amen. So let your yea be yea and your nay. And they talk about on my mama's grave or I'll say it on this or what. No.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Then it goes an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he's showing mercy. Amen. He's talking about the spirit of the law. He's saying the law says this, but it goes much deeper than just the words that it's saying. Amen. He goes on talking about thou shalt love thy enemy. I mean, love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But Jesus said you got to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the law said. And they said, yeah, but this guy over here is my neighbor because he's nice to me. And this guy over here is not nice to me. He's not really my neighbor. I can hate him, right? But Jesus said, no, you should love your enemies.
Yeah.
Amen. We like to take one little phrase and try to find some way to get around
right.
What God said
yeah.
And what God actually meant. We know what God meant. Amen. But we try to go around it. Now, chapter 6, he talks about the temporal riches versus eternal treasure. He talks about reason versus reality. He talks about in chapter 7, righteous judgment versus hypocritical judgment. We go through all this, the good gifts versus evil gifts, the straight gate versus the broad gate. Amen. There's only two. Our world today doesn't want there to be a binary option.
Right.
There's going to be 1,000 different ways you can go. No, Bible says there's two.
Amen.
Amen. Everything in here that talks about a profession versus a possession.
Amen.
All these people claim, Lord, Lord, but not prophesy. He said, I never knew you.
Right.
Amen. He talks about the wise man and the foolish man.
Amen.
You're one or the other. Amen. We talked about this morning, Noah or Lot. There's not multiple different options. I believe there's only a handful. Amen. There's only two here in, not really a handful. Amen. There's only two in God's eyes. You're either right or you're wrong.
Amen.
You're either in or you're out. Amen. You're either saved or you're lost.
Right.
Amen. I believe that. You're either in fellowship with the Lord or you're not. Amen. We're either right with God or we're not. Amen. Lord, help us. Every one of us get out of sorts with God at some point.
Sure.
And we have to repent of that and get right about it. Amen. We might have to get it right with somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. To get right with God. Anyway, look back with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 17. I want to think about this, the law, what he's saying here in the law. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now he's going to tell them that it goes farther than the words, but he starts off by saying the words are very important. Amen. He's not going to let one word, not one letter, not one punctuation mark, amen, be lost in the Word of God. Till heaven, he said, Peter tells us that the earth's going to melt with fervent heat, right? The earth is going to be dissolved. It's going to all pass away. And when that happens, God's Word's still going to be here. Amen. It's not, God's not going to lose any of it. We don't have to search for the best copy of God's Word we can find. Yeah. No, we got His Word. He said it's not going to pass away. It's somewhere. We got to find it. I believe we got it in the King James Bible. Amen. And we don't have to worry about that. God promised He would keep it all the way till, as long as you've got an earth to stand on, and longer than that, you're going to have the Word of God to stand on. Amen. Verse number 19, he said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a strong statement.
Amen.
Amen. Now, he's not saying you have to do enough good. No. That's not what he's saying. You have, we talked this morning about the substitute on the sacrifice, right? You have to have a substitute to be more righteous. He's talking about in our actions, right? But God is not just looking at our actions. When God sees a Christian, he does not, we talk about our flesh and how wicked we are. And that's all true. We have our nature, right? We have to struggle with that. Now I'm thankful we're not doing it alone. We got the Holy Ghost on the inside. We got the Word of God. We got the people of God. We got the house of God. Amen. We got all this that God has given us to help our flesh, keep our flesh in check. Amen. But if we just let it go, it'll be wicked, right?
Amen.
And even with us trying to keep it in check, it's still, we deal with it every single day. Amen. But where was I going with that? I don't even remember where I was going with that. Man, I lost my train of thought. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So the righteousness, when God looks at us, He does not see our wicked flesh. If you're saved, God does not look at us and say, man, he's a wicked fellow. No, God looks at us and He sees the blood of Christ. He sees the righteousness of Christ.
Amen.
When God looks at us, all He can see is Christ. Thank the Lord. Amen. That's why Paul said we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. We're as good as already in heaven.
Amen.
As far as God's concerned. Now, we still have... So, when God looks at us, He does see righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Because they don't have any righteousness. In God's sight, they don't have any righteousness. But these people looked up to these scribes and Pharisees as all they had it all figured out. Right? They outwardly, they were clean. But inwardly, the Bible says, Jesus told them, you're whited sepulchres, right? You're full of dead men's bones. They were wicked on the inside because they didn't deal with it. God always deals with the inside first. He'll deal with the outside, but He deals with the inside first. Amen. And I believe that.
Amen.
So I want to focus in on verse number 19, though. I was trying to memorize these verses through here, and I never really considered verse number 19, but when I was trying to memorize it, the Lord just spoke to my heart in this verse, really, about some things. And I want to just, cause it might just be a Sunday school lesson this evening, but I want to get us to consider some things here in this verse.
Amen.
He says, whosoever therefore, but what's the word therefore? Therefore, right? You got to go back, because Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. And because the Word of God is going to last forever, it's never going to pass away.
Amen.
So, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. Now, I got to thinking about the commandments, and what is the least commandment? Well, I don't find the least commandment in the Bible. I find where they ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?
Right.
And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, right? And he said, the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. And we understand that there's two sides to the, there's two tables of stone. One side, the first four, I think it is, ain't it? Deal with man's relationship with God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That takes care of the first four. That summarizes the first four commandments. And then the next six are talking about our relationship with each other. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Bear false witness. All of these things are dealing with each other, right?
Amen.
And that we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. So that's the greatest. And the only reason that's the greatest is because it just summarizes all of them. Right? It's not, some people think, well, all you got to do is love God. Right? Well, if you love God, you won't take his name in vain. Amen. You won't desecrate his day. Amen. I understand we don't have the Sabbath, but we do have the Lord's day.
Amen.
Amen. And our rest is in the Lord. But we honor the Lord's day. Amen. Because he got up from the grave, as we said this morning. Amen. So, but what is the least commandment? Well, I don't see that God tells us that some commandments are more important for us to keep than others. I really don't see that. I don't see that there is a least commandment. Amen. Now, so what is he talking about? Well, I believe what he's saying here is, if it's least in my sight, if I say, well, I'm not committing adultery, and I'm not killing anybody, and I'm not taking the Lord's name in vain, I might tell a lie every now and then, but there's this little white lies. It's not really that important. Right? I don't think that's as bad as what so-and-so's doing. What my sin is not as bad as somebody else's. My rebellion against God is a small rebellion. It's just a little commandment that God really is not going to be that displeased about. He says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, any of them, whichever one you think is least,
amen,
you'll break it, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Yep.
So I believe what God is talking about here is not that it's actually the least. He's saying, you regard my law to be least. Because if you regard my law to be least, then I will regard you to be the least.
Amen.
God said, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Yep.
But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
I think we have to be careful about our attitude towards God's law,
yep,
as being, well, I know the Bible says this, but I don't really feel like that's really that important. Well, I don't know any part of the Bible that's not important.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
And so if we regard the law of God to be little, then God will regard us as the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Now, then he says here, not only talking about regarding the law as little, but he said, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so.
Yeah.
Now, what is he talking about? Is he saying that as long as you break the commandment but you don't teach anybody to do it, you're okay? But if you break them and you teach somebody, then you're not okay. No, that's not what he's saying.
No.
If you look down at the end, he says, but whosoever shall do and teach them. That's not do, comma, and teach. It's just do and teach.
Amen.
You are teaching by your doing.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Amen. If you regard God's law as little, and you break God's law, you are teaching others by your example to break the law of God. You're teaching your children. I think about how impressionable children are.
Sure.
And they see when the pastor says you need to be in the house of God, you need to come to Sunday school, and it's just so hard to do that. But when the ball coach says you got to practice, you got to show up to practice. All the, you got to buy this bat that costs this much money. You got to do this. You got to do that. And all that's not a problem.
Amen.
We'll be as faithful as we can to that.
Oh, yeah.
That they see what is important in our life. They see what we value as least about the commandments of God. Amen.
Right.
And we are teaching them so. Amen. So I just think about doing and teaching. The Bible has a lot to say about teaching. Has a lot to say about doing. Amen?
Amen.
And so look with me in Luke chapter number 11. We're going to turn to a few verses here. Luke chapter number 11. And we won't spend a lot of time in each one of these, I don't think, but we'll just try to look at something here. Luke chapter number 11. This is what people call the Lord's Prayer. I don't call it that. I don't have a problem necessarily if you do, but this is not really the Lord's Prayer. The Lord didn't pray, "Forgive us of our sins." He didn't pray that. That's not a prayer he needed to pray, right? But he's teaching them to pray. That's what he says. Look in verse number 1. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he goes on giving them this model prayer. But notice he didn't say, "Teach us how to pray." That's not what he said. That's what we think a lot of times, but that's not what he said. He said, "Teach us to pray." Now, why did he say that? Well, look what Jesus was doing when he asked them that. Yeah. Jesus, it came to pass that as he was praying. Amen. The reason they wanted to do what Jesus... the reason they wanted to pray is because they saw the importance that prayer had in the life of Jesus. I mentioned about the sermons that you find in the Bible of Jesus, but you'll find a lot more prayers of Jesus than you'll find sermons. Jesus was a praying man, if we can say it that way. Amen? He was. Amen. I believe he was leaving an example for his followers to pray. Amen. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. He said, "Teach us to pray." Amen. I think he was teaching by his example, not by his words. Now they was wanting to listen to his words, what he had to say about it. But the reason that's interesting that is because of what he was doing. Yeah. Look into Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Of course, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote the book of Acts. Right. And I say he wrote it, God used him to pen down the words. It was God. It's God's word, but Luke was the penman that God used. And he says here in verse number 1 of the book of Acts, "The former treaties," talking about the book of Luke, right? "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus." I don't know, Theophilus may have been a person. The word is a Greek word, of course. Theo is the word God, and phileo is the word love, right? A lover of God. So I don't know if it's a person or a group of people, but whatever it was, whoever he's writing to, he's writing to us. Amen. We're reading it. Amen. He's writing to us. "The former treaties I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Yep. Jesus was doing, and he was teaching by his doing. Amen. He was also teaching by his words. But somebody said your walk talks and your talk talks. Yep. But your talk talks louder than your walk talk. I mean, your walk talks louder than your talk talks, right? Somebody said, I can't hear what you're saying because how loud your actions are talking. Amen. Amen. And sometimes if we ain't careful, we'll be in that predicament where we are saying one thing, and a lot of times we don't even realize it, right? Let me say this. I believe this is what Paul and Peter, he talks about in Galatians, ain't it? Where Paul said, "I withstood Peter to his face." It wasn't because Peter was teaching the wrong thing in his preaching. He was saying the right thing. He went to Cornelius, wasn't it? And God showed to Peter. It's interesting to me. Peter is the apostle to the Jews. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. But before Paul went to the Gentiles, God showed the apostle to the Jews that the gospel was going to the Gentiles. God didn't show that to Paul. God showed that to Peter. But then Peter didn't start saying, "Well, then the Gentiles have to be circumcised." Peter said they don't. But by his actions, he was making people think. He was siding with the crowd. There was a crowd that was saying it, that you had to be circumcised. You had to be a Jew to be saved, pretty much. You had to live the life of the Jew to be saved. And Peter was siding with them in his actions, but not in his teaching. And Paul said he withstood them to the face. He said, "It's not right to say one thing and by your actions preach another thing." Amen. And Peter was a good man who got caught up in that. Amen. If we ain't careful, we'll do the same thing. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Timothy. I've got some scriptures here in 1 Timothy. Paul, of course, in the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, Paul is writing, they call them the pastoral epistles. He's writing to young Timothy and young Titus about the work of a pastor. And a lot of the work of a pastor is the work of teaching. Amen. It's preaching, but he said he needed to be out to teach. Amen. I believe part of preaching is teaching. Amen. That shouldn't be all that it is, but it should be some teaching involved. Now look with me in chapter 4 and verse number 11. We'll start there. Paul told Timothy. Told Timothy not to let any man despise his youth, right? And here he said in verse number 11, these things command and teach. I don't believe that the pastor should be a lord over God's heritage, like Peter talked about. I don't believe he should. But there are some things that need to be commanded, and there are some things that need to be taught. But he didn't just say command it. He said you need to command it and then teach by your example as well. Amen. There's both that is needed. In chapter 6 and verse number 2, he says, and they have, well, let's start in verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knoweth nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof come the envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. He goes on down. He's talking about contentment, and he gets there in verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Yeah. He's talking about if you're a servant, if you're a slave, right? You need to serve your master well. He said, even if your master is a believer, well, he got saved. My master got saved. He should let me go free. Well, that's not what Paul tells Timothy. Yes, sir. Amen. And so he's talking about we need to be content where the Lord has us, wherever that is. We should be content with that. And he said, these things teach and exhort. Right. Amen. I know of a situation back in North Carolina where I'm from, of a pastor that believed some things. My grandpa was raised up somewhat under him, sat under him, was a member of his church and all this for a while. And he didn't see some things as far as separation is concerned. He didn't see that until years later. He was already pastoring when he found out about some of it by studying the Word of God. But he y'all may believe this or not, but he smoked while he was pastoring for a while. The Lord convict his heart of that. Amen. We have to be careful about, you know, Daddy heard a man stand up in the church one time. He was in a meeting and stand up, and he had just, Lord convicted him about having a television. He got rid of it. Last week, he got rid of it. And then at the end of his testimony, he's talking about how wicked the television is, which I agree with him. And he said that, at the end of his testimony, he said, now, if you have a television, I don't even know if you're saved. Well, he forgot. Last week, he had a television. Right. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we get where we expect everybody else to be exactly where we're at. We don't have grace and mercy toward them. But anyway, the point that I was making, my grandpa found out some of these convictions later on in his life as a pastor. And he went back to his former pastor, was talking about it. And his former pastor said, yeah, I believe that. I said, I never saw that. He said, well, my family lives that way. Because you never saw my daughters in a pair of pants. You never saw, you know, going on about all these different things, separation concern. But he said, I don't believe it's the preacher's place to preach any of that. He said, I just teach that by example. Well, there's a place for preaching by example. But if you don't say it, he said, teach and exhort. There's some things that need to be preached on. Amen. Some things need to be dealt with because, I don't know about you, I have a hard time taking a hint. Amen. And I don't see things. I'm not very observant sometimes. And so I need somebody to tell me. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And Lord, help us. Amen. There's some teaching by our words and by our example. Those are both interconnected, and you can't get away from the two. You can't separate them. They have to be together. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. This is very, very important, I believe. 2 Timothy 2. Paul is talking to a young man as a pastor. Paul told him this. He said, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same." He's talking about the doctrine, right? What he has been taught. "The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also."
Amen.
So what he is saying is, he's saying here, it looks to me like he's saying that he said, "The same commit thou not to just any man, but to faithful men." Why is that? He said, the faithful man is going to be able to teach others. If you can believe what is right, but if you don't live what is right, if you're not faithful in what you believe, then you can't help anybody else, because you'll be preaching to them something that you're not even living.
Amen.
And they're going to see that. They're going to pick up on that. Amen. And that goes for all of us. We have to be reminded of that it's important to live what we preach. Amen. And he said, if you'll do that, you'll be able to teach others, who will be able to teach others, who will be able to teach others. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that continues to go on. I believe that's God's plan, is for us to pass down the knowledge that God has given us to a future generation.
Amen.
Amen. To the next generation. I believe that. Now let's go back to the book of Mark. I believe it is. Mark chapter 7. We'll be done here in a few minutes. I'm just thinking about this doing and teaching. They're both. You can't just believe right. You can't just teach right if we don't live right. Amen. We have to do all of the above. Amen. Because others are watching. Daddy says this a lot of times. He says, belief affects behavior.
Amen.
If you really believe it, it'll change how you behave. Amen. And you can't. That's why James said, "Show me your works show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works." It's not works that saves you.
No.
Amen. But if a man has faith, it will produce works.
Amen.
Amen. Now, some people may produce more works than others. Some people may produce more fruit than others. But there will be fruit.
Amen.
Amen. What was it Jesus said? Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. He said, every good tree brings forth, right? If you're a good tree, you're going to bring forth some good fruit. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that. Mark chapter number 7, I believe it is, and verse number 1. "Then came together unto him the Pharisees." We already talked about them some. "And certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashing hands, "they found fault." There's some people, they just come to the house of God just to find fault.
That's right.
Amen. They come just to see if the preacher's going to say something they don't agree with.
Amen.
Amen. If you listen long, you probably find... I listen to my messages, I find things I disagree with. Amen. Ask the Lord to forgive me for that. Amen. But he says, verse number 3, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders." That's probably a good idea for you to wash your hands. But that's not a commandment of the Bible.
Right?
Verse number 4, "And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, and brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied unto you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He said, you say the right things, but you don't actually believe it.
Amen.
And it shows forth, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It'll show out at some point what's on the inside. I was listening to Brother Wells on the Preacher's Hour. I don't know if you heard it this week. Brother Wells preaching on that, and he made a statement in there, and I've heard, I think my dad say kind of the same thing, some others, but he said it really well. He said, I believe that God, if a man has sins against God, if a man has sin in his heart, God will have some kind of trial or something to show him and reveal to him what's in his heart so that he can get right about it. And he said, if he chooses not to get right about it when God has revealed it to him that it's in his heart, or if he chooses to turn a blind eye to that, he said, God will send something in his life that will reveal to everybody what's in his heart. I believe there's some truth to that. Amen. God reveals it to us so that we can do something about it. But if we continue, a lot of times we say, well, you know, because judgment is not carried out speedily.
Yeah.
Right? The heart is, what does it say? Is fully set in them to do evil. Amen. And that's we can say that nationally. We can say that, but the thing is God is not a harsh God. God is long-suffering. And he has that long-suffering. So if God judged us every time that he knew we had sin, we'd always be in judgment, right?
Amen.
We would never have an opportunity to get right about it. But God does not judge us immediately. The Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth man to repentance. God is good to us by giving us a space of repentance. And we think that because God's not judges, he must be okay with it. And he's not going to judge us. But that's not the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. So he said, this people honoreth me them with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold to the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Oh my.
Yep.
I'm talking about this commandment. And he said, if you say the commandment, you break the least commandment. You say God's commandments are least, but you put high value on men think.
Right.
That's what we do, ain't it?
Right.
Well, if I do this, everybody at church is going to look down upon me. So I don't do that, but I'll do something else that nobody else knows about. In Psalm 19, it's a good psalm. Psalm 19, he talks about, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. Yeah. Just presuming upon the grace of God.
Yeah. Right?
Things I'm not even aware that I'm doing. Right? And then it talks about secret sins.
Yeah.
And then he said, let me turn over there. I can't get it. Let the meditation of my heart, but that's not where it starts, I don't believe. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Lord, help us. He's not just talking about open sins. He's talking about these things that we don't even realize. Because we don't value God's word like that we should. Amen. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. So I just looked up a few things in the scriptures. This really the word commandment, and was thinking about that. We understand the Ten Commandments. We understand the commandments in the Old Testament. But there's some commandments in the New Testament.
Sure.
Amen. There's a commandment we already told you about, what Jesus told them. I understand it's still under the Old Testament economy, but he said it in our New Testament. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I believe that still applies in our day, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
We ought to love God. And I think Jesus told them that except you hate your father and mother, you cannot be my disciple. That's not literally saying you have to hate. He said here, if a man hate his brother, he's committed murder in his heart already. It's not the same thing. He's talking about our love for God should be so strong that our love for our mom and our dad and our brother and sister appears to be hate. The contrast is so great. Amen. We get that mixed up. I was in a church service there in another state. Anyway, I'll say it that way. Where the Sunday school teacher got up and taught a good lesson. And after Sunday school, he said, at the end, he said, I'll have to apologize to you. He said, my family, he said, they're all lost. And he said, they have the family reunion on Sunday. He said, and so I'm not going to be able to stay for the service. He said, because I don't know why they do that, have family reunion on Sunday. But I'm like, I understand that they're going to have family reunion on Sunday, but I'm not going to be there. Amen. They didn't understand. If they want me to be there, they're going to have it sometime when it doesn't conflict what God has for me to do.
Right. Amen.
Our love for God should be greater than that. Amen. And then he said to love our neighbor, also there in Mark chapter 2. Love your neighbor as yourself. How well do we keep that commandment? Lord, help us. We're living in a society, let me say it that way. We're living in a society that only thinks about me.
Amen.
Everything, you watch any commercial, and it's not about helping your neighbor. It's not about doing something for somebody. It's about this will help you. It's all about satisfying the flesh in some way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then John 13 tells us we ought to love the brethren.
Amen.
He says one way that men will know that you're my disciples is because you love the brethren. We love each other. Amen. That's different from your neighbor.
Amen.
We have a closer bond one with another, right? We're brethren. Amen.
Sure.
We're in the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. We have the same Father.
Amen.
We should have some of the same characteristics.
Yes,
amen. Amen. And then he said in Ephesians 6, he tells us, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's after the cross.
Amen.
There's a commandment. For us to honor our father and mother. Amen. I believe that is mostly he's talking to children. But a lot of us that are not children have father and mother still that we ought to honor.
Sure.
Amen. And Lord, help us to do that. He's told us in 1 John several times, he talks about my children walk in truth. This is a new commandment I've given to you, that you walk in truth. We have the truth. That's what I've been preaching on. Amen. Is walking in the truth.
Amen.
Doing and teaching the commandments of God. Don't value the commandments of God as little. Amen. And then he commanded for us to be faithful. Amen. It's required. 2 Corinthians tells us it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's not suggested. It's required in stewards. For him. What is a steward? A steward is a servant. He's a servant in authority. Right? Amen. He's a servant that's in authority. He says, required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. I believe that's right.
Amen.
In Hebrews 10, he tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He goes on and says, but if a man sin willfully, that's in the same context. A man knoweth to do good and do it and not, to him it is sin. Paul said, or the apostle, I believe Paul in Hebrews, said, if a man sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Amen. Lord, help us take this. We know what the Bible says. We just have a hard time sometimes with obeying the Word of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Look with me in John 14. Let me close here in John 14. I don't know if this is a help to you, but it's a help to me to see what we ought to value about and how we ought to think about the commandments of God. Amen. Amen. John 14, very familiar. Jesus is getting ready. He's just revealed to him that Judas is going to betray him. He's revealed to him he's going to die. He just revealed to him that Peter is going to deny him.
Yeah.
All these bad things. And he starts off, let not your heart be troubled. And he gives him a promise. Amen. You believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on down. We'll not read all the way down through that, but look in verse number 15. Verse number 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yep.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Amen. So we see that we have the Holy Ghost living on the inside to help us. We still have this flesh. We have to deal with that.
Amen.
But we have the Holy Ghost living on the inside to help us.
Amen.
With that. Amen. And then he said in verse number 21, he said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. A lot of us, a lot of times we're proud to have a King James Bible. Amen. We have it. Thankful we have it. Amen. A lot of places don't have a Bible in their language.
Nope.
But he says, not good enough just to have it. He said, we've got to keep it. Amen. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him or to him. Amen. If we want to see God, Moses asked to see God in his glory.
Sure.
If we want to see God, I believe the way we see him, the way he manifests himself to us, is by us loving him and loving His Word and loving His way. Amen?
Yeah.
And doing that. Lord, help us. What are you teaching others by what you're doing?
Sure.
What are you teaching others about the Word of God?
Amen.
And its value in your life?
Amen.
What am I teaching others?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, help us. Be faithful to the Lord all the way to the end. Amen.
Sure.
Brother Jamie, I appreciate the time. Amen.
Amen.